Welcome back, everyone, to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Georgetown McDonough's MBA program. This is your host, Jeanette Brown, and today I am joined by Alex Brown. No relation, although I have known him for a long time. He's a longtime member of the Clear Admit team. Alex, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me again.
Could you remind our audience how and why you know so much about MBA admissions?
Well, it's been most of my professional career. I worked at the Wharton School for 7 years, and I also taught in the professional development program for the Graduate Management Admissions Council. And then since that time, I left the Wharton School in 2005, and since that time, I've worked directly with Clear Admit, and a lot of my work is dealing with sort of application process and in this case, the interview process. So I've had probably a 20-year experience directly related to this subject matter.
Well, our listeners are going to be very lucky to get to draw on some of your expertise as we are in the thick of interview season right now. In fact, we are dedicating not only this episode, but our next episode to putting your best foot forward in terms of interviews. For this episode, I would like to focus in on 5 interview questions you really need to get right. Obviously, different schools take different approaches to their interviews. You won't always get the same questions from every school, but our experience has shown us that there are some questions that reoccur and that there are some questions that are particularly important to giving thought to in advance. I'm hoping that you can kind of tackle them one by one and share with listeners the best ways of really shining. So to get started, how about the question that many applicants will be hearing from their interviews, whether they are blind, which means the interviewer is going just from a resume, or whether the interviewer knows more about their entire application. In either case, it's quite often the case that an interviewer will say, "Walk me through your resume." How would you advise applicants answer?
Yes, this is, as you suggest, Jeanette, a very common MBA admissions interview question. And oftentimes, it's the first question that's asked, which presents some additional challenges, I think, for the candidate, because they might be just a little nervous before they've sort of warmed to the interview environment. So walk me through your resume is a very common question. And what it does is it allows the candidate to give a sort of a summary of their experiences and their life to date. And it therefore gives the interviewer some nice groundwork from which to work from subsequently. So the interviewer will likely then ask some follow-up questions based on how the candidate has sort of addressed this question. So from that perspective, it is not only a very common question, but a very, very important question, since it really does set the stage for a lot of the interviews that candidates will have. What I would suggest is trying to come up with a 2 or 3 minute version of your resume in terms of how you go through your resume. And you can start basically with maybe your choice for your undergraduate study and where you studied and what you studied, maybe 1 or 2 highlights. Moving quite quickly into your career, into a candidate's career, making sure to explain any choices that have been made, so the whys behind the career choices and the undergraduate choices and so forth, and then sort of highlighting some of the substantial outcomes of each of the choices made in terms of, again, through the early part of the career. So highlighting the whys and then what you've learned, and then bringing the interviewer up to date in terms of why you're now sat here in the interview. But I would suggest 2 or 3 minutes and, you know, basically really try to practice that answer and feel ready for it.
Do you have advice for applicants who may be anxious about some part of their resume? Maybe there's a gap, or maybe they have work experience that doesn't seem immediately relevant to what they're trying to do. Any specific advice on how to prepare for those things?
Sure. I mean, if the gap in the resume is 3 months or longer, then that does require some explanation, as it would in your written application. You would write a note in your optional essay addressing that gap. And any gap shorter than that, I wouldn't worry about at all. But you can address, you know, in terms of why there was a gap and potentially what other activities you performed during that break, as it were, in your career. And then to the other question, we should realise that the MBA is a generalist degree, in essence, and attracts people from a myriad sort of careers going into the MBA. So obviously quite a number of candidates have consulting backgrounds, investment banking backgrounds, now technology backgrounds, and so forth. But top MBA programs tend to attract people from lots of different fields. So rather than be concerned that your experiences might not be directly related to the MBA, I would focus more on the outcomes of those experiences and what you've learned and how that sort of evolved over time to get you again to this point of why you're interviewing for the MBA program.
And quite honestly, taking a look at your resume with fresh eyes from the perspective of someone who doesn't know it as intimately as you do, to kind of anticipate questions that might arise.
Absolutely. You know your career, you know your story, you know it better than anybody else. And that's just really strong advice going into any kind of interview, is absolutely know your story and be ready to articulate it effectively. Anticipate that this question will come up. But even if this question doesn't directly come up, knowing your story prior to the interview is essential. Reread your application essays, obviously reread your resume, make sure your resume is up to scratch for the interview, and so on and so forth.
You already know you're capable of greatness, but wondering just how much you can achieve isn't enough. To truly have an impact on the world, you have to go find out exactly what you're made of. It's what sets the doers apart from the merely curious. With a curriculum designed to prepare you for the global stage, plus access to all Washington, D.C. has to offer, Georgetown's McDonough School of Business is the perfect launchpad for your career. Get started at choosegeorgetown.com/MBA.
One other thing that dawns on me is we'll hope that applicants have already taken a look at their resume before submitting with regard to jargon. But in case they haven't, or in case it's tempting to describe past work experiences using buzzwords, any advice on that? Any reason why that is a pitfall? Is it a pitfall?
It can be a bit of a pitfall. You don't want your resume to be so full of jargon that someone out of your industry, and most likely your MBA interviewer, won't be from your industry. Just make sure that that person can understand your resume. So you may have to remove some of the jargon. The other thing I would suggest, and this is a little bit nuanced from the resume you may have submitted in your application itself, but when I interviewed at Wharton, I was always delighted when a candidate had a summary objective at the beginning of their resume that succinctly explained why they're pursuing an MBA and how it connects with their goals going into the future. So that's obviously a question that is typically potentially asked in the interview, in the written application, in the essays and so forth. And having it addressed right at the top of the resume, I think, is a really good sort of addition to your resume.
And again, having that objective at the top of the resume be more than to get into a top business school. Okay, that's a lot of great information on the resume. Another question that our interview reports reveal and interviews that you yourself have conducted show is a question around career goals. How can applicants best prepare to answer this question? What are interviewers most likely to be asking about? Are they interested in what you want to do immediately after business school? Do they want that as well as a longer term plan? And what if you're not completely sure?
Hopefully, at this stage of the admissions process, you are quite sure in terms of why you're pursuing the MBA and what you plan to do afterwards. And you're not simply getting the MBA to get out of a boring, dull, or tedious situation. And business schools are really keen to get a sense that you have a plan going forward. And the idea that, you know, smart people lead potential leaders, you know, the next generation of leaders, they have plans. they know why they're doing things. They have purpose in their intent, and that purpose and intention flows into why they're pursuing an MBA. So you really do want to have a sense of your career goals and be able to articulate them succinctly, both short-term, what you plan to do post-MBA, and long-term, what are your ambitions in life and where do you see yourself in 20 years' time in terms of what you plan to do? So it really does sort of reflect on your candidacy if you have a well-thought-through plan. It shows you're more focused, and it shows me as an interviewer that maybe you're right for our program because you can articulate why you plan to be here. And you also need to, or a candidate needs to bear in mind, the two-year MBA experience, or in some cases one-year MBA experience, is very intensive in terms of activities inside the classroom, activities outside the classroom, as well as recruiting activities. So someone that goes to the MBA with a well-developed plan will make more out of the MBA experience than someone that's going to the MBA with a much less defined plan. And as an admissions officer, I would want the person that's going to make the most of that experience. And for many programs, they have lots of well-qualified candidates, and oftentimes it's the strength of their purpose and their focus on their goals that helps differentiate great candidates to good candidates.
All very helpful advice. Based on my interactions with admissions directors, I hear that one of the things that sometimes can give admissions directors pause is when an applicant has a career goal that is a real reach based on their prior experience or their prior education. Say they want to make a shift from, I don't know, marketing to private equity. That's not to say you can't make such a shift, but I think admissions directors, at least those I've spoken to, want to hear applicants having recognized some of the challenges inherent in whatever goal they've set for themselves and be thinking through that and have some plans to approach those challenges, like coming in and saying, I recognize that private equity with my background is going to take a lot of work. I plan to hit the ground running. I've talked to this person and this person. I know that school A that I'm applying to and interviewing for with you right now is exceptional in this area. Can you talk a little bit about what career goals are reasonable in the eyes of an admissions director and the best ways to help an admissions director really see that you have thought through not only what you want to do, but any obstacles that might be in your way and how you plan to confront them?
Sure. And it's interesting that you pick private equity as an example, because I would probably advise anyone not to pick private equity as a career goal unless you're going to one of the very, very, you're interviewing at one of the very, very top schools and maybe you have some private equity experience going into the MBA experience, because it is a highly networked industry as such, and there are much fewer jobs and so on and so forth. So your example, I think, is very good. And what I would say is, no matter what your career goals are, there's probably certain characteristics of those goals that are critical, one of which is they need to be realistic. And realistic based on your own set of experiences going into the MBA, and then how the MBA experience in that particular school can complement your experiences and help set you up for your short-term goals in that sense. So make sure your goals are realistic. But then the counterintuitive piece to that is make sure your goals are ambitious. And especially your long-term goal, and your plan then to get to your long-term goal has to be somewhat realistic to get there. But MBA programs, and again, the top MBA programs, are, you know, continue their growth because their alumni are very successful. And you need to be able to show, even in the MBA admissions interview, that you fit into that sort of character of potentially being a truly successful alumni. So I would suggest that your MBA goals for sure need to be realistic, but absolutely have to have an element of ambition that sort of complements that. Not everybody should show that they're going to be the next Elon Musk, I should say. But nevertheless, ambition, I think, is an important factor too. So do your research. Candidates should know at this stage of the process what sort of pre-MBA careers set them up for post-MBA careers and what are less realistic, and especially given the type of school that they're applying to. Do your research and make sure that the admissions committee person that's interviewing you doesn't question the realism of what you plan to do.
Terrific. Now, another interview question that many applicants may face as part of the interview is, why do you want to go to Harvard or Yale or Haas, whichever school you're applying to? And you may be speaking to someone who works at that school, or you may be speaking to someone who attended that school. What is the best way to answer why that school is on your list?
Again, this is a very common question, very important question, and it is related to the career goals question and so forth. So sometimes the questions will be asked in tandem or as one sort of longer question as such. But schools want to know that you've done your research and recognize how their program in particular can enable your career goals and how you will make the most of that sort of 1 or 2 year experience in their program. So there's various ways you can do that research, but I think the most effective is a visit to the school. So if you're interviewing on campus, that's obviously a great opportunity to visit, and I would try to conduct the interview after you spend some time visiting rather than interview at the beginning of your visit and then go on to visit. And then I would use anecdotes that you've learned through your visit to drive that conversation, so it's very apparent to the interviewer that you spent your time engaged with the school. So the very top schools, I should suggest Harvard and Stanford and maybe even Wharton, are going to be less concerned with whether you're going to potentially choose another school over them in terms of if you're offered multiple choices or multiple admits. But then there are schools that may be a little bit further down the pecking order in a potentially slightly lower tier that might have some concern that if you were admitted to our school, would you actually attend or would you pursue other options at other schools? So to try to mitigate that, you just show that you've done the research, you really understand your fit for their school, and you make a very solid case as to why that school will be a great opportunity for you. I don't think you have to say it's the best school for me, period. But nevertheless, suggesting why that particular school is a great fit for who you are, how you learn, where you want to be, and your career goals and so forth.
I think you make some excellent points, and I feel like we've given this advice with regard to essays as well, but a simple rule of thumb is that the schools want to feel special. They recognize that you are likely applying to multiple schools, but they want to know that you've taken the time to imagine yourself at their school and that there are things about their school that really appeal to you. And I also loved your point about visiting, if at all possible. It really does bring the campus and the MBA program and the other students to life, literally. What if you can't visit in advance of your interview? Is it a lost cause? Would you have any suggestions?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question, because not everybody has the opportunity to visit, mostly because of geography. And certainly if you're out of country, it makes things a lot more difficult. But if that is the case, if the school itself is traveling to your geography, it would behoove you to meet with the school during that information session or whatever it might be that they're conducting. You should also go to the school's website and attempt to sort of identify maybe students through their website or alumni and so forth that you can maybe engage with, even if it's through email, to learn more about the programs. And maybe through your own personal networks, you know people at certain schools or alumni of those schools, excuse me, that can help you just get a real good sense of the school and its culture. But you really do want to do whatever you can to identify constituents of the school and engage with them. I think that would really be very, very helpful.
And a tiny bit off topic, but I can't resist. We have at Clear Admit recently launched a new tool for users to share their visit experiences to campus. And as more candidates share their visit experiences, this will be a great resource to learn about visits in the instances that you aren't able to visit yourself. So a little plug, if you haven't already, please share your visits to business school campuses and learn from those of others.
Absolutely. Visit Wire.
Exactly. So while I have you with me, I would like you to share your thoughts on another interview question that we hear is asked frequently, and that is, give us an example of a time you took a leadership role. Is it as simple as it seems on the page, or are there some nuances to this one as well?
I mean, I think this can be a little bit tricky, but if you're applying to top-tier business schools, hopefully you've had some experience where you've had to take on a leadership position. It might not be a traditional leadership position at your firm. If you're, you know, obviously people with you know, 4 or 5 years of experience, not everybody's sort of had a traditional hierarchy to manage and so forth. But that then makes things a bit more interesting in terms of how do you influence and lead your peers, maybe on a particular project at work where you didn't have hierarchical influence over those peers. So certainly before you come into your interview, you should identify 3 to 4, I would say, sort of anecdotes that you can draw from of particular experiences that highlight certain aspects like your leadership style and so forth that you can address in the interviews. Because these types of questions might come in different sort of shades of grey. So having 2 or 3 different opportunities to draw from would be very, very good, I think. Obviously, there are certain elements of leadership that schools are going to want to hear you point to. You know, leaders have good vision, they have good communication skills. They're very good at relying on others, putting teams together, and so forth. And I think the leadership experience that you do ultimately pick for your interview, you want to be able to potentially really quantify the outcomes of that experience. So if you're talking about something that you were successful at, leading a team towards an end goal, you want to be able to illustrate that success with some kind of quantifiable result that the ADCOM person can readily understand is a good success.
And what if you don't have a lot of leadership experience on the job? Can you look elsewhere for places to provide examples?
Yeah, I think you absolutely can. I mean, one thing we ADCOMs are very interested in business school admissions is your outside of work activities. And oftentimes, those are a great platform for you to develop leadership outside of work. So in your volunteer experiences, your extracurricular activities, and maybe even stepping back into your extracurricular activities in college, although for some of us that would be quite some time ago. So you want to try to pick a more recent experience if you can. But if you did something fantastic in college, then why not draw from that experience too? But yeah, these don't necessarily have to be only professional work experiences that you draw from, but nevertheless, it's the quality of that leadership experience itself and what you learned from it and its success and so forth that's going to be the most important sort of factor in determining which particular experience to draw from.
Fantastic. As we said at the outset, these are admissions interview questions that we know appear with regularity in many interviews, regardless of the school. So I think you've given our listeners a great set of tools for approaching them. I wonder, do you have a personal way of finding your balance and calm before you enter into an interview that could feel stressful? Or what might you recommend to applicants, aside from the actual questions that they'll confront, for starting the interview off as smoothly and as confidently and from a place of as few nerves as possible.
Right. I mean, I always thought it was quite ironic when I was an interviewer at the Wharton School that pretty much everyone that sat in front of me was way more accomplished than I was. And I say that just to sort of not to suggest that our MBA candidates should get any kind of arrogance before their interview. But they should realize that they are pretty much the cream of the crop. And, you know, if they're interviewing at a top-tier business school, they should have some really interesting things to say, which is fantastic. But basically, know your story. It's just like anything. Do your research, know your story. You should then enjoy your 30 or 45-minute conversation with the AgCom, who is seriously only there to learn more about you. They're not there to deliberately trip you up. They're only there to really get a better sense of who you are. So take advantage of that and enjoy it. But be a little bit nervous. I think sometimes if you don't have any nerves, then your energy level's not there. And that sort of creates a bit of a dull interview environment. So a little bit of nerves is a very good thing. But be very well prepared and plan to enjoy the experience. And I would just add, there's one other sort of very common thread of question that you should prepare for. And that is the notion of a failure. And this always used to be my favorite question to ask the candidates that just on paper just looked absolutely exceptional. And you could actually almost sideswipe them just a little bit at the end by just asking them about a time where they experienced a failure. And you know, that sort of gets to a candidate's humility, understanding a failure, some self-awareness issues there. And then a candidate's capacity to learn from the failure, to grow, and maybe then throw out an example subsequent to the failure that shows that growth and learning. So you really want to show, don't tell, in all these sort of answering all these questions, right? So how did you learn from that particular failing? And hopefully when you pick an example of a failure, it's not a catastrophic failure and so forth. So you want to be a little bit careful on the particular anecdote that you do address in that circumstance.
Such a good point. And I'm glad you remembered that. I had in my head thought that that was a part of a second podcast on difficult questions to answer. But you're absolutely right. Describing a time that you fail is not only a difficult question, but also a common question. So I'm glad that you've given listeners the tools they need to start thinking about that. I will perhaps revisit that question with you in our next podcast, when we will dive into some of those thorniest questions and how to answer them. But for today, we're going to stop with those five most common MBA admissions interview questions. Alex, thank you so much for sharing your expertise, and I'm sure the Clear Admit audience will benefit. To the audience, go out there and have the best interviews you can. Remember, a little bit of nerves is a good thing, Alex says, but a lot of preparation is even better. And we'll look forward to convening with you here again soon.
Thank you very much for having me. Very good.
And always, Clear Admit podcast listeners, if you have enjoyed what you've heard, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. Even better, leave a review. Doing so can help other listeners find us. Thanks so much, and we'll look forward to being together soon.
Thanks, Jeanette.